crowds that came out to be baptized by him. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. This, of course, is a well-known hymn that can be sung, let it be said, during both Advent and Christmas. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Now, this is a very well-known hymn, and chances are most of us have been singing this for many, many years. And the message of the hymn seems obvious. Joy to the world. Well, of course we're going to be joyful during this time of year. Of course we're going to rejoice that the Lord is come. Duh, Pastor Tasha. After all, we know how the story goes. The Lord comes. The Lord comes to us as a cute and fairly harmless baby Jesus, who is worshipped by shepherds and then later brought gifts by the Magi from the East. Of course we rejoice over this. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. It sounds like something that should have gone on Jesus' birth announcement card. Now, we take for granted that we know, that we have learned, that the Lord's coming is supposed to be a joyful experience. Today's Old Testament reading comes from the prophet Zephaniah. We learn from the first chapter of Zephaniah that he was a prophet to the southern kingdom during the reign of King Josiah. This meant he was bringing the word of God to the people. Now, a bit of setup in case you've forgotten. God's people lived in the unified kingdom of Israel for a bit, but then they had a civil war and they split off north and south. The north was the kingdom called Israel. They were known as Israel, and they were known for worshiping, unfortunately known for worshiping, idols and false gods. Not a thing you want to be known for, especially when, you know, the Lord is your God. And the southern kingdom, known as Judah, which also housed Jerusalem and the temple, they fared a bit better than the north. They still worshipped idols and false gods from time to time, but they were also known for worshiping God and actually getting on the ball for once. Now, by the time of King Josiah's rule, the northern kingdom, Israel, had gotten so bad that God simply let it be. God withdrew God's protection, and Israel was conquered by the Assyrians and carted off into exile. Yeah, that's not good stuff. This is not something you want to have happen to your kingdom. So while Josiah would go on later to lead a major reform, Zephaniah's prophetic words came early in Josiah's reign, before Josiah became known as the king to bring the reform, or the best king ever that you've never heard of. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Now let's think about that second line for a minute. The Lord has come. Now, we're used to that phrase being paired with joy to the world, so it seems perfectly obvious. The Lord has come. Hooray! Hurrah! Hallelujah! Of course, this is a joyful event. This is what we're leading towards during the season of Advent. Let's instead think back to when you first graduated from school and were living on your own for the very first time, or on your own with roommates, at least. You get a call from your parents letting them know that they're in town, and surprise, they're at your front door and they're here to visit you. Your parents are coming. Now, this could definitely bring joy because they're your parents. However, this also assumes, since they are pretty much on your front doorstep, that you've got all your stuff together. Your place is immaculately clean, you're making adequate money to live on, and you are living generally a fine, upstanding adult life. Your parents are coming. However, this could also bring guilt and fear and shame. Your parents are coming, and your place is, well, a mess. It's clear that you haven't cleaned or dusted or cleaned the toilet in not just weeks, but perhaps months. You don't have any real furniture, and it's really obvious that you're just scraping by. The Lord is come, or the Lord is coming, as it was put in the Old Testament before Jesus. And much like the second scenario, God wasn't going to see our perfectly well put together life and pat us on the back. Good job. No. God knew what we had been up to, and it wasn't pretty. In fact, Zephaniah starts out his prophetic words to the people like this. And this is God speaking, of course. I will utterly sweep away everything on the face of the earth, says the Lord. I will sweep away humans and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. I will make the wicked stumble. I will cut off humanity from the face of the earth, says the Lord. Well, clearly this visit from the Lord isn't going so well, because the Lord has noticed that all is not well. The Lord has uncovered all the dusty and disgusting secrets you tried to sweep underneath the rug. There's been idolatry and worshiping other gods, including Baal and Molech, in whose cult child sacrifices were a thing. The people have been complacent and thinking that God will just leave us alone. God won't judge us. We'll be just fine. We can just keep on doing our thing. The people have been led by corrupt leaders. They've hid behind their wealth, and they've oppressed other people. They've been warned about their behavior, about their wrongdoing, over and over again, so it's not like this is any surprise. The day of the Lord is near. The Lord is coming. Now, I know that we're all tempted to say, oh, these things happened a long time ago. These are things of the past. We're not like Judah. We don't worship Baal or sacrifice children to Molech. However, we do sacrifice our children to the cult of success, where our children's success is our success. So heaven forbid they're anything but gifted in all areas of their life, and heaven forbid they have any free time. We've become complacent about all the horrors happening in the world, so much so that we are desensitized to these horrors through the 24-hour news cycle. And we barely notice when something tragic happens, especially if it happens to happen outside of the United States or the Western world. Also, in this election cycle, it's already clear that if we look a bit more deeply into any candidate on either side, we're likely to find corruption as well. We too have been warned about our wrongdoings over and over again through the words of Scripture that speak to us still today. The day of the Lord is near. The Lord is coming. All of a sudden, this doesn't sound like such a great thing. We find ourselves judged the same as those whom Zephaniah addressed these words to so long ago. The day of the Lord is near. The Lord is coming. We have no reason to look forward to this day. We have no reason to sing joy to the world. The Lord is coming. We've done nothing to deserve joy on the day of the Lord's coming. Yet we know the song, joy to the world, the Lord has come. And as Zephaniah adds, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Zion. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. The Lord has done this for us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. The Lord has come through Jesus, who comes to take away the sin of the world, who comes to die on the cross for our sins, so that though we are judged, when we are faced with this judgment, we are judged as forgiven through the blood of our Lord. Joy to the world, indeed. We are forgiven. And even more than that, joy to the world and joy to the Lord. Not only are we told to rejoice over this, we are also told that the Lord finds joy in this as well. The Lord, your God, our God, is in our midst. He is mighty to save, and he will rejoice over you in gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. This season, we not only sing for joy in the Lord's coming through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lord sings for joy too. The Lord joins us in song. We all sing for joy together. The Lord sings for joy for this restored relationship with us and with everyone. The Lord sings for joy over you, over the fact you have been made a part of God's family through Jesus and through our baptism. The Lord rejoices over all of us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Thanks be to God. Amen.